Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Welcome to Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanin, Dennis Dick. Yesterday, we saw fireworks, and we're going to recap all of that. We're going to try to make sense of what happened in the stock market yesterday, what it potentially means going forward, and how we can navigate this sea of choppiness. Well, actually, chop. It's not really even chop. It was just down. So, yeah. All right. You know what to do. Hit that like button. Hit subscribe. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. Wake them up. Tell them to watch. And let's get the show on the road here.
This is Pre-Market Prep with Joel Elkanin, Dennis Dick, and Spencer Israel.
All right, I cannot do this alone, so let's bring on Mr. Elkanin. Joel, good morning. How and
are you out from under your desk?
I'm out from under my desk. Dennis, are you out from under your desk?
No, I'm still under my desk. hiding.
Okay.
Let's do a quick rundown, then. We got a lot to cover. We got Mark Chaykin coming on in 13 minutes. Futures are down three handles, 46.89. We have crude going up, gonna get over 80, up $1.18. It's 79.02. Gold getting slaughtered, down 35 bucks at 17.90. Silver down $1.08 at 22.10. Bitcoin, we got to move that line down. Finally took out 45.5, down $840 at 43,000. Ethereum futures, they're down $215.50 at 3,364. Triple D, get that buy the dip hat out. Let's go to town. Is it time to buy the dip?
No. Sorry. I tried to buy the dip a couple times on those growth names. I've lost but stopped out every single trade. Every single one. I even tried yesterday. I tried yesterday a little bit after the open. The ARK had a little double bottom pin. I was like, oh, is this the chance? So I took a little flyer and three little growth names just for swing trade. Stopped out on every one. Every single one. I put it tight. I put them all to the lows of the previous day. But you're getting stopped on everything long. The easier trade is just shorting rips. I'm making money on all my shorts. I'm losing money on all my longs. That's the kind of market we're in right now. Sell the rip has never worked better. Beyond Meat, fantastic headline.
Oh, boy.
KFC, they get the big contract. They pull the rug out from under it immediately. Why does this keep happening? Because the bag holders are just in fear mode now. Like every time it's like, oh, I get some money back. Get out. All these stocks, all these growth names, all these companies that don't make money. All appear to continue to be sells on every single rally. So you get a good headline. They rip up 6-7%, just another selling opportunity. I tweet out last night, Datadog was rising on some headline. It was up a 154 last night, 153 or 154 when I tweeted it. It's already back down to 148. Sell the rip has never worked better.
Vintage, I hope that answered your question as far as what rips. There are always rips, right? Datadog and Beyond Meat, too.
Go to your filter. There's always something trading up.
Right.
There's in the growth names, anyway. Sell the rip is, I should clarify, sell the rip has never worked better in the growth names because the value names continue to go up.
Very interesting rotation today. If you look at what is up, the European banks are strong, right? Deutsche Bank, Barclays. What's the other one?
Banks, man.
What's the other big one I'm not thinking of?
UBS.
UBS, thank you.
Bank.
Yeah, they're all up this morning.
Credit Suisse, CS, is up too. It's not up as much. Banco Santander, SAN, small one. I'm long Deutsche Bank. I'm long some of the banks. They're all working. This all just is Fed driven. It all is textbook.
So
and again, what we've been talking about for the last 2 months is if the Fed is pulling the punch bowl away, the growthy names are going to go out of favor and banks and value will come back into favor. We continue to see that. Yes, we've tried to play the bounce and growth a couple times. There has been no bounce, really. These little bounces get sold immediately. I mean, this is still Fed-driven, and the Fed did not help yesterday, Spencer. If people weren't paying attention, you can tell us what the Fed said yesterday.
Let's talk about that. A little bit of egg on my face. I definitely did not expect this kind of a reaction, it's very difficult to try to predict these things. But here's what happened yesterday, okay? We got the minutes. We got the notes from the December meeting. And before we get to what those notes said, let's rewind to what was already said in December. In theory, what the market should have already known. Okay, in December, it was discussed both in the statement and in the subsequent press conference that yes, we are going to stop, we're going to slow down and eventually stop our purchases of treasuries, and it's going to stop sooner, right, rather than later. It's going to stop in the next couple of months, and then once we stop buying bonds, then we're going to raise rates. That was made very clear in December, like a month ago or 2 weeks ago, okay? What was made less clear is what happens to all the bonds on their balance sheet, right? What are they going to do? In the December press conference, not in the statement, but in the press conference, there was some mention, and the key word here that people seem to be zeroing in on yesterday was the word runoff, right? There was mention, and that the term runoff refers to a runoff of the balance sheet, an unwinding of the balance sheet, selling all the treasuries, all the stuff that they spent the last year and a half, 2 years buying, right? Just throwing money at the system. The word runoff was mentioned in the press conference. It was mentioned in a more of an abstract way. Jerome Powell said, yeah, we talked about it, but he wasn't really specific about what was said. But yeah, we talked about a runoff. We talked about last time, right? The 08-09 crisis and how the Fed unwound their balance sheet after that. Recall they did it very slowly, took several years. So the word runoff, it was mentioned, but in a very abstract way. So yesterday we get the notes from that meeting, and the market appears to have been very surprised that they talked about this like for real. Like they actually talked about a lot more than was implied in the press conference about the runoff, about unwinding the balance sheet, about selling liquidity, about selling the treasuries that they've acquired for the last 2 years. So that last part, it's not so much the taper, we're past that. It's not so much a rate hike, we're past that too. It's this third thing that was not made so clear in December, which was, there seems to have been a very ample discussion about the Fed selling all the treasuries that they've bought. Market very surprised by that, clearly. I don't know whether or not they should have been surprised is a separate debate, but the market was surprised. That's what we know for sure. So that's the key word here is runoff. That's the word everyone keyed in on, and that's why we're down.
So that was ugly. Joel, you talk about the SPY action because this is your baby.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing was that initially you got a pop, right? And then all of a sudden when the verbiage came out, and Spencer, don't be too hard on yourself because Fed, the notes from a meeting, I mean, I've seen this move off a Fed meeting, but, the prior notes, but the street was ready for it. And we had been holding, a pretty tight range, right? The 475, you had a couple lows there last Friday and Monday. And once it took that out, you have areas where you go up through real quickly, and then you have areas where you come down real quickly. And basically, we're doing a reset of the Santa Claus rally here. You lost, I'll do it SPY here. You lost the 475, and you're right back here. Of course, we had the pre-Santa Claus rally. But when you have areas of support and the support holds, we are kind of really a tight, choppy range the last couple of days. And then when it came out, when it took out those pair of lows from Friday and Monday, boom, you fell out. And we got much lower overnight. You kind of felt that there was going to be a little carnage overnight. So if you think like, oh, we're flat, bad day yesterday, we're 25 handles off the overnight low. So we've, you know, if you think, you know, we've come back a long, long way. But, you know, it's the first day, too. You, Dennis, you talk about your two-day moves?
Yeah.
Yesterday was the first day.
Yeah, that would mean you sell rallies into this. And maybe you get, you know, the buy the dippers coming in on your Apple and your Microsoft because, oh, yeah, those always work. But I think we're repricing here to a certain extent in all of tech. Obviously, this started with the growth names, it started with Kathy, but now it's spilling over. And it didn't just start yesterday with the SPY selling off here. It started 3 days ago with Microsoft, just continuing. It started a couple days ago. Apple wanted to hold up long because it wanted to hit that $3 trillion, and they totally did it. They hit the $3 trillion, they put the double top, and now they pulled the rug out from under it. So it technically doesn't set up that well. Here, talking against my book, I own both of these stocks, my long-term portfolio. I'm not selling these out of my long-term portfolio because I just don't want to pay the tax. But in other words, you know, I don't think we're going to fall 30, 40, 50%, or I'd be better off to sell these things. But I think we're way too early to be looking at, you know, buying the dip on Microsoft or Apple. We got to let the dust settle here because you're getting a repricing of risk right now. The Fed, obviously, you know, is behind this. And, you know, do they, you know, some people tweeting at me, you know, do they not raise interest rates if the markets go down too much? And that's a possibility. If the markets really start to crash, we know they have defended the market in the past.
That would be nuts, though.
No, I know, because they're all set up to do it. So that's not on the table right now, though. Like, we haven't even sold off. We haven't even started selling off, really. On S&Ps, you're right near the all-time highs. If you're overweight equities, and you got lots of, you know, a diversified portfolio, and your portfolio is sitting at all-time highs, I think it's time to raise cash. I think it's time to be prudent, not look at what I can get in. I wouldn't want to be on margin right now. I don't know what to say if you're all growth names. You've been slaughtered. I mean, I have a couple of growth names in my long-term portfolio. I'm probably like 5% growth. That 5% became like 2.5%. I'm not joking. All those names cut in half. So I don't know if that continues or not, but we are, to yesterday's point, we are following the path of 2000, the tech bubble burst to the T. It burst 10 months ago for the growth names back in February. We're already 11 months after the growth peak. We are 11 months past it. It took 2.5 years from 2000 till we bottomed in 2002. So, or 2 years, I think it was about 2 years. And then we finally started to come back. But a lot of those names never came back. We know the NASDAQ fell 81% over that period. It's not going to fall that far because its valuations are not as crazy as it was back then on the NASDAQ, on the big cap, mega caps. But on the small names, the valuations are all just stupid. They were stupid. And if you've been buying, you know, and ignoring valuation, you're getting rightfully punished because valuation matters in the long run. And I don't think a lot of these names are going to bounce back. I think a lot of these names actually continue to bleed out.
Let's get Mark Chaykin's thoughts on all this. Mark joins us every other Thursday. He is the founder of Chaykin Analytics. He's the creator of the Chaykin Power Gauge, the Chaykin Money Flow, the Chaykin Oscillator, and I'm sure he has thoughts. So, Mark, good morning. Happy New Year. First off, Happy New Year. Let's get that. Let's get the pleasantries.
Happy New Year, except to Dennis. He's like the Grinch that stole New Year.
I'm just saying the growth names aren't coming back. I'm not too worried about the other names in the long run.
Yeah,
the growth names, I agree. Most bleed. Go ahead.
I agree. But I think this is really the Cathie Wood effect still playing out. They've taken her to the woodshed, so to speak, and it's ugly, and she's bleeding assets now, you know, 500 million, a billion at a time. So she'll be a non-factor shortly, but I'm more optimistic than you are, Dennis. I do think that there's a repricing of growth going on, and you've got to look, well, if you're a trader, that's one thing. If you're an intermediate player, I think you start looking at value because that is what did well in 2000 to 2002. They actually went up, not down.
Yeah.
So what's value these days? It's Ford, you know, which has become a darling tech stock because of EV. It's Macy's, potentially, you know, had the big run corrected. Now it just had a little retracement.
Are you talking my portfolio, Mark? I own both those stocks.
Really? Well, we're usually on the same wavelength. But I also think that you look out 3 years, 3 to 5 years, and say, what are the big themes that are going to be playing out? We know it's EV. We know it's AI. We know it's cybersecurity. Maybe the metaverse. I actually am a believer in the metaverse. So I found three or four names that are basically on sale right now, starting with NVIDIA, Unity Software, which has really got taken to the cleaners.
I like that stock too.
The Trade Desk, you know, digital advertising is where the bucks are going to be spent, and the Trade Desk is making money. So I think where I agree with you, Dennis, is that you have to look for the stocks that are making money. Now, Unity is on the cusp. They're not making money. But Trade Desk, obviously stocks like Qualcomm, NVIDIA, I think is on sale here.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a tug of war going on between the people who think that this was a liquidity-driven bull market, and clearly it was, and the people, and now you're going to take away the punch bowl. So is there a party left to dance to? And the people who say, well, the economy is going to be very strong, so we're not going to go to hell in a handbasket in terms of the overall market. And I think that's a balanced approach here. If you want to take a really dour view of tech, but you like the broad market, buy the equal weighted S&P ETF, the RSP, the old Guggenheim, now it's an Invesco, because there you'll get the benefit of an expanding economy across a broader section of the constituents in the S&P.
I mean, valuation matters again. It didn't, when we were talking 1 year ago at this time, valuation didn't matter at all. It was about story. It was about what was sexy. It was what's being talked about on social media. That's what was moving stocks. Now it's like you put your CFA hat on, you look at the financials, and you say, does it make sense? And if it doesn't make sense, they're punishing those stocks. If it does make sense, those stocks are going up because we are in this, you know, separation here. I mean, Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway, new all-time high again yesterday. Obviously, he does his homework. We know they are value-driven. Value is working. It's continuing to work. I'd love a pullback in some of these value names to get into some of these names that, you know, maybe we're not in. But do you think this then, do you chase this move here is what I'm kind of asking. Like, do you come and start chasing these value names because they've really ran? Or do you wait for some type of pullback?
Oh, you have to wait for a pullback. You know, Ford would be my poster child here. A stock that I've also liked is Live Nation. Live Nation made a new all-time high yesterday. Those two stocks are now going to be my sort of canaries in the coal mine. If those two stocks continue to do well, that's telling me that there's an underlying sort of thread that the economy is going to be strong. We're going to get back to normal. This wave's going to crowd out the other waves. And then it is a question of valuation. I think the big stick from yesterday was that for the first time they talked about shrinking the balance sheet. And, you know, smart traders knew that was coming, the bond market. Sort of knew it was coming because you had that 2 or 3 day rally in yields leading up to the Fed announcement. But yeah, I rarely tweet. I tweeted out yesterday afternoon, if you shot yourself in the foot in December of 2018, would you do it again? And it's hard to believe that having lived through the market turmoil that he created, that Jerome Powell created in 2018, basically a bear market. The S&P was down 19.9%, but small caps did a lot worse. Would you do it again? So you say, no, are they going to raise rates and then lower them, which seems illogical, but market pressure plays a lot to bear, especially with the lingering pandemic. So what are your thoughts on how someone, you know, repeats the same mistake in plain view?
We're on the line with Mark Chaykin of Chaykin Analytics. Mark, just for a little clarity, when you talk about, you know, low PE value stocks, like, you know, where do you, like, you draw the line? I mean, some of these, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25. I mean, what's the S&P trading at 27? Where are you looking as far as like a number for the PE ratios where you get interested? Because sometimes they get too low and, you know, the stocks are just stuck and they're going nowhere. Where's the sweet spot for you?
This is different than historical. And I'm the last person in the world to say it's going to be different this time. But when you've got six stocks in the S&P that contribute roughly 25% of their earnings, it's hard to put a PE on the rest of the bunch. And to the extent that the repricing is ongoing in these big names that you were talking about before I got on the air, and the Microsofts and the Apples of the world, I wouldn't look for a classic PE buying point on the S&P. I don't think you're going to get it.
What unless you stocks? Get a,
well, on stocks, I think you go on fundamentals. And, you know, in some industries, it's going to be a 10x multiple. I mean, look at the PE on Qualcomm. Which basically didn't sell off yesterday.
Yeah.
It's pretty reasonable right now.
I own it.
It's got a trailing PE of 23, a forward PE of 17. Yeah,
look, yeah, I mean,
those are reasonable.
Yeah, so I think it's a case by case basis, Joel. And you know, so that's why I say, look, if you're really an investor, look ahead 3 to 5 years. You've got Qualcomm that's going to be a big beneficiary of augmented reality, virtual reality. Microsoft threw in with them yesterday. They're very big in the chips for Android, and Android seems to be the winner. Facebook said they were going to go with the Android operating system for their augmented reality. They're not going to build their own. So Qualcomm has a lot of things going for it, including 5G. And it'll get cheaper. It's not going to hang up here at 190 forever. But it's certainly a stock I'd want to buy on a dip, along with NVIDIA. I think that's a great growth package that gets you into a lot of different industries on a long-term basis. Short-term, you may have to see pain of 15 to 20% in these names if we get a bigger market correction. I don't think these names fall into the Peloton, Roku, DocuSign, Zoom category. These are more building block companies. You know, the chips are the building blocks of the next wave of technological innovation. So, I wouldn't dump these stocks in the same category with the ones I just mentioned, which were really the shop at home, stay at home darlings. So yeah. I think you got to separate out growth into two boxes.
What do you like about the metaverse, Mark?
I think that it could be the next big thing. I like the fact that some very smart people like Gene Munster are starting to talk about it in a positive way. You know, would I walk around with a set of goggles on all day to experience live trading on the floor of the Chicago Mercantile? No, but they're using some of this technology. That's why I like Unity so much, in spite of the fact that it's getting hammered. You've got Unity already using virtual or augmented reality on building sites, where an architect and a construction manager can walk around and envision where an air handler is going to go. You've got them in the automobile industry. It feels right to me. I think it's the right time. The technology will get slimmed down. And I think this generation that's coming up, who's so technology friendly and savvy, is open to that. You and I may not be open to that, but it feels right to me. It could be it's not like 3D printing. It's not going to just go away because there is no there right now. You know, this is all building blocks for the future.
Mark, I'd be curious, just in terms of the market's reaction to yesterday, what are the chances that this was all just an overreaction? That this was a no. You said that this was this was a known thing. This being the shrinking of the balance sheet, it was mentioned last month in the press conference, so it was out there. Maybe it wasn't out there in the same context, but it was still out there. So, what are the odds that like yesterday's reaction, the sell off, was just an overreaction?
I think it's about a 1 in 3, maybe a 40% chance that they find a home here, in the 4650, 4700 area on the S&P. Okay. And of course, that's where your, Joel, that's where your intraday low came in on the futures. So Yeah, I was thinking that the market would be strong into February, March, with a peak in April, just on a cyclical basis, and that still may play out that way. Obviously, you know, there were a lot of sellers at 4,800 leading up to the announcement on Wednesday, you know, starting last week, and that was our upper target for the year. We'll have to see. This is not a market where I pound the table and say you've got to do this, but I am starting to accumulate some of these names that I mentioned.
Okay. Okay. Mark Chaykin is the founder of Chaykin Analytics, a creator of several long-standing indicators, the Chaykin Money Flow, the Oscillator, the Power Gauge. Mark, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Hopefully things have stabilized by then.
Yeah, be well.
All right.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Thanks, right. Mark.
Let's talk about Bed Bath here. This one,
yeah,
is
triple D, yeah.
What the heck is going on?
I have some luck on my side here, man.
All right, so
good thing you couldn't log into that account.
Here's the deal in Bed Bath.
I just did. I can log in at 8 o'clock. I just got a gift from the trading gods.
We will get there. We will get there. First, let me give you the numbers, okay? Bed Bath & Beyond reported earnings. It wasn't even on my radar this morning. I didn't. I don't even think I knew.
Not really.
Anyway, they missed on their EPS. They missed on their sales, and their guidance came in lighter than their prior range. So they lowered their guidance. They missed on the EPS, and they missed on their sales. Now let's pull up the charts and see what's doing here. And then Dennis, can you explain your situation?
So obviously they hammered it on this earnings report, and then they turned around and just started buying the hell out of it. So my situation is, you know how I like to be long stocks going into earnings reports, and I got so tied up trading everything and day trading everything yesterday, I totally forgot that I had this in my swing account. I hadn't looked at it. I did not realize I had it in. I knew I had it in there, but I forgot about it. And I looked at it last night. I was like, oh, crap, Bed Bath & Beyond and reports, and then I'm sure enough, I'm still long the thing. So I thought about hedging it last night because I can't sell out in that long-term portfolio. It doesn't have after hours. It doesn't have it has a small period of after hours trading, but it shuts off after 5:30. I didn't realize it till after that. So I'm like, okay, well, what the hell? It's been beat up. I'll just take it through the report. So, and then it misses. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have to just, you know, eat this and move on, obviously. And the thing goes all the way down $12. I still can't trade it because I couldn't trade till after 8 o'clock. Well, lo and behold, the trading gods come and bail me out. And the thing just ripped higher to over $15. I just sold a big chunk of it at 1505. I went in and I logged in. I just sold a big chunk of it. So I still have a small piece of it. The reason I held a small piece was like, it's a really good response to a bad report. So normally you actually like that. So, and it is kind of, I don't know, it's a retailer. Is it a value name? Well, they're not making money now, so it's hard to value. But if they were ever making money like they did before, they have the spinoff. There's actually a fundamental case here to own it. I hate the stock, though. The only reason I had it was just because I was trying to play it for a run-up ahead of the report. That obviously did not happen. I got bailed out, so I got lucky here.
You just got that quick pop to just almost 1550, and yeah. I'll just go with that because your two-day high, 1549. I see another one at 85 and 70. It's just a lot of highs in that mid to upper 15 handle. So if you're looking for a big run out of this one, that now you're buck off the pre-market high, I would just give it a beyond meat, kind of situation where you had the big pop. We were looking, could it get followed through the pre-market high? And absolutely not. I mean, that didn't. So different stock, different category, but if you're looking for more, 15 and a half. Just one other thing, just to wrap up what Mark said, you also had the Santa Claus rally ending on Tuesday, officially, right? The first two days of the year. Yeah. And then you had all the people that were saying, oh, I don't want to sell because I don't want to pay taxes in 21. I'm going to wait till the first couple of days of 22 to sell, and then I can sit on my money before I pay Uncle Sam. So there's a couple other dynamics in there for the degree of the sell-off.
Yeah, I mean, that's what often happens. The winners become the losers, and the losers become the winners. We see that, and we clearly, you know, had that trade, you know, in the value names, because the value names really started ripping, you know, with that January effect. But they just totally pulled the rug out from all the growth names. They didn't have a rally, and that was the first day. The first day was the tell. I had a lot of those growth names on. I was like, they should have rallied today, and they didn't. They didn't sell off, but they tried to rally a little bit, and they just didn't have the gas, and you could just kind of feel it. That is like, it doesn't feel right. You know, it should, I even said I want immediate gratification. I want a whole trading day. And they just kind of sat there and other stocks were rallying. So that was kind of the tell that this growth trade isn't going to work. And then obviously I held a couple and got stopped out on them all. I mean, that's why I have stops. You know, you start making new lows, you got to go. You don't want to own a stock making a new 52-week low. And all those ARK names, ARK's making new 52-week lows now. I mean, the market's up here again, ARK's down again. I mean, Why is this going to be the bottom in a stock like Palantir? People are saying, oh, I should come and buy Palantir. It just broke critical support. Like, look at this chart of PLTR, Joel. This was sitting on 1780. Yep. I tried to play the bounce. Spencer did too. You got stopped out too, didn't you, Spencer?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's what it is about risk management. It's now broken. Could you have an undercut and rally? Maybe, but you got to get back above 18.
That's a big undercut.
You can't touch it until it at least gets to 18. So if you're playing the undercut and rally, it isn't like, okay, buy the undercut, because what if it's not an undercut and rally? So I don't think you can even get interested until this is above 18 again. Then maybe lean on the old support with the Gil Morales trick. But at this point in time, it's completely broken. It broke critical support. You know, where the stock goes, well, I don't even know what they do, so I can't even try to value it. So I know. It's not absurd to think this could go back to single digits. It could. I mean,
we're going to have to get rid of the undercut and rally and call it the gash and don't rally. I mean,
on
that's
the growth names, there hasn't been any undercuts and rallies for a while.
And look at ARK right now. Look at ARK. Where's he? I mean, after the day that it had, yeah. I mean, you can look at it and say, oh boy, someone's backing up the truck here at 85.5. But then you're thinking, wow, look at the day that it had yesterday, and there's no bounce. You know, there's no, it's just hanging out there. Is it below the low from yesterday? What's the low from yesterday?
I think Mark's right. There it is. This is the reason. This is the reason that a lot of other stocks, you know, like a lot of other tech names are starting to go down, because I think you've got cash raising now from some people that are just way over levered growth. And they're like, okay, well, what am I going to sell? Okay, well, Apple, I'm going to get rid of some of that to maybe finance, you know, some of your losers. I mean, Kathy does it herself. She sells the winners to buy more of these losers. So, maybe it's all going to work out for her. There's nobody that averages down more than Kathy. Maybe if she keeps averaging down, eventually it's going to work out. Well, but I don't think so. I think we eventually could see ARK, and it could be significantly lower than it is now. Like people say, well, where it's going to go? I mean, if we are following, and I'm just saying, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying if it's possible to happen. ARK right now is only down, 45% from the highs? 159.70 to 86 on buying all this nosebleed valuation stuff. I mean, if you think about where we went after the NASDAQ bubble burst, and we are following that, I mean, that's why we keep going back to it, because it's uncanny how well we're following the 2000 bubble burst. You know, it didn't like all of a sudden crash. Everybody thinks, you know, that they read about it. Oh, the tech bubble crash of 2000. That did not happen. It was death by 1,000 cuts, down a dollar. Down a dollar, down a dollar. These things just didn't crash. They slowly bled out. And, you know, the NASDAQ went down 81%, but some growth names, there were some growth funds. Like I said, I even bought a growth fund, which was very similar probably to Kathy Wood style, where they were buying all the sexy high growth names. That fund went down 95% from the highs, 95, and never came back. You know, so, you know, eventually you sell and you move on, but, you know, and there wasn't ETFs back then, but it was like I was first started trading. You learn the hard way that valuation matters. And Kathy is starting to learn this maybe the hard way. Maybe she's not. Maybe it's not going to matter. But, you know, she says she tries to pick the companies that are going to grow into the valuations, and maybe some of them will. But I think a lot of them won't. What if these stories don't materialize? You know, let's look at another one of her holdings today. I know we're picking on her, but she deserves to be picked on because she got so much love before. And her strategies, you know, we were skeptical of them the whole time. BLI, Berkeley Lights, it's one of her biggest holdings. She continues to buy the dip on this every day. BLI, what is the news on this one, Spencer?
Lights out.
Does, yeah.
Lights out.
Well, you have to ask, A, does it even need news? But they had earnings yesterday. Earnings yesterday, and then some follow-through downgrades this morning slash last night. So the earnings, the sales guidance came in light. That's the bottom line. Sales guidance was light yesterday.
It's down 30%. She's been buying this stock.
Oh, and their CEO is stepping down. There's that also.
Yeah. Is she going to buy more today? Probably. It's what she does. She just buys and adds to losers. It's the exact opposite of what we teach on this show. She is the opposite of what we teach on this show. I never add average down to a loser. I never add to a loser. You know, I got to bring my price down. I got to bring my price down. I mean, she's in a different boat, right? She's buying it every day. She's got a lot of money, you know, like an investor. She's got to deploy that. So she's just adding to the companies that she's got. But, you know, I've always been of the opinion that you do better when you cut your losers as opposed to adding to your losers. And it's coming to roost. So, you know, maybe I'll.
When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. In the minutes I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/prep. Just go to Indeed.com/prep right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/prep. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
These stocks bounce back and maybe we go into the story 2022 and maybe everything comes back happily ever after. But if we follow the transcript from 2000, which we have followed very well for the last 11 months, it will be another year of pain for a lot of these stocks. And a lot of these stocks that are in her holdings will likely fall 90% if we follow that transcript. I don't know if we're going to do that. Nobody knows anything, but I'm just playing it out. And that's why, you know, I've been very light on growth for months now. You know, I've tried to play the bottoms a couple times, little snapback rallies. Some of them have worked, some of them have not. But I haven't had any of these in my long-term portfolio for a long time. But the simple reason is that story mattered in a year ago. Story does not matter at all now. What matters now is valuation. So if we go into that market, it could be 7-8 years like this in a value-oriented market. We've been in a growth market for a decade. We were in a value market, like Mark says, from 2001 till 2009. Probably 6 or 7, and then everything crashed in 2008 with the tech bubble or with the housing bubble, and obviously the financial crisis. But I mean, you've got to be aware that it can always get worse. Don't just think because the stock goes down 50%, it's eventually going to come back. Because a lot of stocks that go down 50% go down 70%, 80%, 90%. And just to do some fun math, when a stock falls 50%, it's got to go up 100% for you to break even. When a stock falls 90%, it's got to go up 1,000% for you to break even. And that's why it's so hard for these stocks to come back.
Yeah, there's a lot to say from that. I think so. You summed it up nicely. I have many thoughts here. I don't really know where I want to go.
And I have a lot of thoughts here too. And some of, you know, like Unity, like Mark brings up Unity. I like this company too. I do think it's going to be a big part of the metaverse. I do think it's going to be one of the winners in the long run. But right now we're in repricing of risk. It doesn't make money. That's not a stock, you know, and I can look and there's some support and there's going to be a bounce here eventually in Unity, but I don't want to be the hero. I think you've got time on all these growthy names that even if they bounce, it seems like it gives you another chance. It gives you another chance.
Yep.
You got to almost cut the FOMO out on these names right now and just protect your capital. There's certain names that, you know, are going to continue to perform. I like the banks on pullbacks here. I know they're not sexy, but they're cheap and they do well in a rising interest rate environment. And if that's what we're going into, those are the kind of names I want to own. You know, am I coming in Apple, Microsoft here? No, I mean, I'm already in them, but would I add to it? I think you haven't even really sold off on those names. I mean, they're 3-4% off the highs. So those could fall 10-15%, still be in uptrends really overall. So I think there's room to the downside in a lot of stuff here. I didn't like the candle yesterday. I think I'm raising cash if I'm sitting there with a lot of stocks in any rally.
I'll go back to a comment I made in the chat earlier, which is like, if you're in any growthy anything, right? The bottom line is you have two plays here. You either give up, you either succumb, capitulate, surrender, or take a long term approach. There's probably that's your way through this, right?
No, I disagree. I think the long term approach. I think there's still people, Joel, taking a long-term approach. So if you were in, okay, if you were in for the long-term approach the whole time, Spencer, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
But if you were in it for a trade and you're all of a sudden saying, well, I can't sell at the loss here, I'm going to take the long-term approach now, that's absolutely how you lose a lot of money. Never let a trade become an investment. Right. If you had an investment and you said, I'm going to be in this for the next 20 years, well, maybe you're holding this company and you believe it and you're going to be in it for the next 20 years. But don't think the market's going to bail you out. Don't think time is going to necessarily bail you out, because there's a lot of people still sitting on stocks from the year 2000 that never got their money back. Intel never came back.
All Intel. Right, I should clarify.
Cisco never came back. We are 21 years later. Cisco never got back to $80 a share. It's tried. And it's been trying to grow into its valuation, but you paid 85 times earnings. The investor that bought Cisco in March of 2000 paid 85 times earnings. Well, you know what? Cisco's earnings went straight up for the last 20 years, but because you bought at such a stupid price, you have went straight down and you still haven't got your money back. That's why valuation matters. You're paying 100 times earnings. It takes a long time for those companies to grow into those multiples. Cisco's still trying. Maybe in 10 years from now, maybe in 3 years, maybe you're going to eventually get your money back in Cisco, because it trades with a P of what now? What's a P on Cisco? Like 13? 14?
Probably like 15 if I had a guess. But
so earnings straight up for 20 years, stock basically 17. Down or flat for 20 years, for the simple reason is that valuation didn't make sense then. The valuation is kind of making sense and now driving it. It's now a value stock. But 20 years later, if you took that trade on at $80 and say, well, I'm taking the long-term approach now, you're still waiting to get your money back.
Yes.
So I may not necessarily bail you out.
I should clarify, know the difference between a trade and an investment. But let's talk about, like, because there are pockets of strength. Like, we spend all day talking about growth and how bad growth is.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go to the other side of the equation here. And we have mentioned stocks today that have been strong, right? We talked all week about Ford. So on the chat, I just mentioned Toyota. You can look at AT&T and Verizon, T-Mobile having really good weeks here, right? Yeah. And what I said to Joel yesterday on the At the Close show was, the game now, as far as the stock market, the game is find the pockets of strength, right? That's the game. And if you can't find that, if it doesn't exist, then that's a signal in and of itself. But that's now the game. Find the pockets of strength if you want to go long, right? Pockets of strength are there. Right, we already mentioned the European banks this morning, right? All trading higher, okay? Ford, telecoms, right? AT&T, automakers,
value,
right? Value.
That's what's worked. The question is, does that continue to work though? I mean, if you're coming in AT&T now, look what AT&T just did. Joel was right; he was on this 22-23, and now it's 26-27. It's almost time to ring the register. So I'm like, I'm not in for coming in on value now. I think you got to wait for a pullback. So you can get these names on your radar, but I don't think you can chase this. Like, the moves are just too extreme. I mean, Berkshire Hathaway, when the hell has Berkshire Hathaway moved up 5% in a week, Joel, in 2 days?
Well,
Berkshire Hathaway went up 5% in 2 days.
But hold on, though. But in theory, if growth continues to break down and the relationship holds, shouldn't value continue to
maybe, to but you still got to buy dips. So go back to your basic trading principles. We're buying dips and selling rips always. So if I want to be long value, I need a dip to buy. I'm not going to buy on the day.
Yeah, sometimes you don't get like it's sometimes
you don't always get.
Sometimes you don't. I mean, it's hard.
Then
you
move on to something else where you do get a dip. Why do you? Have you missed that one then?
Yeah, and move on to the next. You know, because what I mean, I got stuck in some tea, and you know, last year I can't remember where I bought my first piece, and then we were debating about it at like 25, you know, 24 and a half, 25. And I'm like, I really wanted to get more at like 22. I'm thinking this AT&T, it will bring in with some of this move. But at the end of the year, you know what? I said, you know what? I'm not gonna wait for the pullback. You know, this is something. The dividends, I think I got to do a little bit more research. It's still gonna, because the price has come down so much, it's still gonna have a dividend. But you know, sometimes it's, you know, and I don't do this a lot. I wanted to put X. I just said, okay, I'm going to put 3/4 X in this, and then if it comes back to the area that I really want, then I'll deploy the rest. So, I mean, it's hard because you know, like Walgreens. Like, let's go to the Walgreens.
Report. All right, it's a great idea.
229. Oh, I missed this one. Oi.
Great idea. Value stock news this morning in the form of earnings. Their earnings were, unlike Bed Bath, this report was actually good. Their EPS beat. Their sales beat. And they raised their guidance was higher than estimates or than previous.
I mean, what's a P on this thing? 10?
Still, yeah. I looked at it yesterday.
10?
Yeah.
It's cheap, man. Yeah.
Wait, no.
Yeah, it's the kind of stock you want to own. It's breaking out over 55 on a pullback here. You probably want to own it. I mean, it's not a sexy name.
Nope.
But, you know, and has it benefited from, you know, people going into pharmacies more, maybe with the pandemic going on? Maybe to a certain extent. But I don't know. It's working and it's breaking out now. You know, it's a catch up trade with CVS, which is really obviously really
very much a catch up trade.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think on a pullback, I think I would like to own Walgreens.
What was the medical? What was the company that was going to take over the world with delivery of pharmaceuticals? What was that?
Are you talking about GoodRx, GDRX?
Yeah, how's that stock doing?
I don't know. All right.
How do you think?
It's gross.
Has it got a nosebleed PE? There you go. Simplistic market right now. High PE, sell. Low PE, buy. That's all it's doing. That's what's done so far in the first four trading days, first 3.5 trading days of 2022. Go look at the PE. If it's low, it's going up. If it's high, it's going down. I mean, I don't know when that trade reverses, but I think that could be sticky for a while. So again, I'm buying dips on value and I'm selling rips on growth until further notice.
All right. I have an interesting one for you here. What about the China trade? You can look at JD and Baba this morning and they're both trading higher.
I like the Baba. It went yesterday and then it pulled back with the overall market. Now it's trying to rip again here. I actually do like Baba. I said it yesterday on the show that I liked it when it was 120. It ripped up to 128 yesterday, and then it gives you – or 126, and then it gives you the pullback with the overall market, baby with the bathwater here. I think I got a level at 110 now on Baba. I'm not long it. I kind of want to be. I said the same thing yesterday. I'm not long it, but I kind of want to be.
The Munger trade.
There you go.
Oh, how the turntable.
Follow Berkshire Hathaway.
Right? Yeah, but he's been buying since like he's averaging down in that. But he's in it for the long term. But yeah, you did talk about the setup on this one. You had the big bump from 110 to 130. I mean, the only thing with this is is the headlines and things have been kind of calm out of stocks haven't been coming in on the news, the China news as of late. You never know when that rhetoric is going to heat up again. How's Didi doing? Is that thing bounced? No, that thing.
They're that delisting that.
It's just like,
yeah. I think it's getting delisted, isn't it?
Yeah.
In the U.S., yes, it's getting delisted. But
thank you.
If you own the stock, you will have some recourse in the form of a cash payment or a conversion or something. But it just the Baba thing, to hear you say that, Dennis, is so funny after the last 6 months of saying, why be the hero? Why be the hero? Well, for the moment, it stopped going down. So
have to be a hero now.
Right, exactly. So
you're not going straight down. You're trying to break that ugly downtrend here. You had a nice candle yesterday. It's a lot of reasons to think that Baba's okay. But you know what a heck could happen tomorrow? They could get China'd. And then, that's the wild card. Well, that's what probably keeps me out of it. I don't know what they're going to do over there.
Here's an interesting thought, though. Christian Gallagher just mentioned this in the chat. Here's an interesting thought. I keep forgetting this, that the Olympics are like a month away. So maybe, and they're in China, right? So maybe next month they're China's really quiet, right? They just want to play nice. This is just a hypothesis. Maybe they just play nice for the next 4, 5, 6 weeks through the Olympics, and then they go back to doing their thing. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
A little window of opportunity.
I'm so proud of you, Spencer. I love that.
It wasn't me.
Window of opportunity.
Yeah.
Sneak yourself in some Alibaba. Baidu too. Same thing. I mean, it was a gross story. I think these stocks, at least you got some lows to lean on here. The trends are still not your friend, but valuation, I don't think, like at Baba, it's fairly cheap. I don't know what it is on Baidu. I've never looked,
I think it's higher than that.
Yeah. What's the PE on Baidu going for? You have the forward PE?
Yeah. 15,
is that reasonable?
15.
These are reasonably cheap. You know what? Baidu, Baba, sure. I think
these are.
It's 12.
It's because its price has come down. It's
12. The price is like an all time low, isn't it? It's getting close. I guess not. No, in 2015, we were $57, but the thing's grown earnings, grown earnings, grown earnings. And then it's just been China at all to beat Hal. So I don't know. I think Baba Baidu, yeah, sure, I like him.
I can't believe that's where we've come to now.
Well, the valuations are reasonable. They've been beat up. I mean, there's not a lot of value stocks that have been beat up, so you're kind of like combing the ditches a little bit, and we're going to comb China for the value names. Right. There's always a risk that you get China tomorrow, and then that changes everything. But yeah, I like Baba Baidu, sure.
There are other things that are trading higher. Some of them, trading higher. Some of them you may want to consider fading, like a Nikola this morning, which is trading higher because they signed a deal. Others we've discussed already. But Nikola is a prime example, right, of a pop that could
That's
be
not a, much of a pop.
Well,
$0.34.
It was up more, wasn't it, last night?
That's not too far off the high. What a reversal.
What an ugly candle yesterday.
Yeah. Ugh. You do have support. I mean, just under 10. Boy, oh boy. How's Ride doing? Did that get a bounce?
Sorry. I hope Marcus got out somehow.
It's all the EVs. Every so often, I take a look at Hylion just to see where that thing is.
I've not looked at that stock in months.
Yeah. It's below 6 now.
It's all the same story.
Yep.
All ugliness. The story, the sexy, that we're going to get rich on all these EV plays, and they're all like, how many actually are still doing okay? Like, is there any that are actually like, trading higher? Is there any that are making new highs? Is there any? Is there one EV play out of the 50, that were all SPACs? There probably was 50 of them, the charge points and all these. Is there any? Mitch would know too. Is there any making new highs?
Well, they weren't all SPACs. They were mostly SPACs. And I don't think so, no.
Not a one. So it's like 100% losers.
Well,
MP. There's somebody from the chat. MP. Ugly day. Ugly couple of days. Ugly day yesterday. But it actually made a new high.
Materials Corp?
Look at that one. Flying under the radar. MP was a good one.
Materials Corp? I don't remember talking about this one.
Yeah, MP Materials.
Yeah, okay. And now they're coming through. Lucid, yes. Lucid's treading water.
Wow, still the $60 to $36. MP is a lot better. Lucid looks like it's ready to break down to me.
Wow.
If I was in Lucid, I'd get the hell out. Rivian, too. Just my opinion.
Wait, okay. How is old Rivian doing? Oh, boy.
Well, I saw a picture of a Rivian over the weekend from the front, like just of the grill and stuff, and it looked pretty ugly. I'm not going to lie.
How can you get excited about they sell one thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How? And they don't sell very many of it. I don't know. I don't know how you can get excited about these things. I mean, if they were selling like a zillion of them, like this guy Fisker, Dennis. I know you're long it.
Sold it.
Oh, you did? He shows him driving. Oh,
I sold anything that doesn't make money. I sold it. Not joking. I went through the portfolio. If they don't make money, I sold it. I don't think I have anything left really not intentionally. I think almost 100% of the companies I own right now all make money.
Do you see what's coming?
So I'm like no growth left. It's probably the biggest growth rally ever now that I've sold them all.
Look at Tesla coming down to fill the gap. Look at that. Needs to get
Tesla has the S&P behind it. So it's, if Tesla wasn't in the S&P, it would be a lot lower. Tesla, because it's in the S&P, the ARBs hold it up.
Yeah. All right. Let's do some ticker time. Drop your
genius
tickers,
to get in there.
Drop your tickers. Well, they didn't do it. But
well, I mean, genius. To, yeah. So
Tesla.
True enough.
Elon Musk is not knocking on S&P Global's door saying, "Hey, S&P Global.
How do you know?
S&P Global, put us in." No, it's not doing that.
Everybody else was knocking on S&P Global's door for a year. Remember how much everybody's complaining? When is Tesla going to get into the S&P? When is Tesla going to get into the S&P?
Yeah.
Finally got in there. These names that are growthy names, I'm going to say the same thing about them, sell the rip. So I'm just going to summarize the chat right now. If it's nosebleed valuation, high PE, no PE because it doesn't make money, I sell the rip. If it's low PE, I'm buying dips.
Okay.
That's how I'm working it.
Okay. Let's go with like...
Program that, please.
Yeah.
Look at DraftKings. Holy mackerel.
Doesn't make money. Disaster zone. I tried to play it off that bottom there. It didn't work. Stopped. It was gone.
How would you approach a Carnival Cruise Lines here?
Oh,
I like
boy.
The reopening play. I would buy the pullbacks in the cruise lines. I think you're going to get a reopening trade here. I think we're getting past. I want to believe after 2 years of this bloody pandemic that we're actually going to get past it. We're all going to get Omicron and then we're all going to move on with the rest of our lives. So I like the cruise lines here.
Okay. That's the nice.
I'd buy the dips on the cruise lines.
Okay, we can look at Stellantis, automaker, right? Traditional automaker, right? The former Fiat Chrysler.
Maybe he meant Tesla.
No, he didn't.
Oh. I don't know.
No, but this is my conspiracy. This is they knew what they were doing. They're not stupid. They're like, oh, let's just put our ticker so it's close to Tesla's, then people are going to mistake us for Tesla. They're not dumb. But anyway, Stellantis, right? Is the
is
name?
Is that what Stellantis did? You think?
That's my conspiracy. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, come on, STLA. Come on.
STLA gets all the dyslexic people.
Yes. Anyway, STLA, traditional automaker, right? They've been strong, right? So that's near an all-time high right now.
Do they make money?
Yeah, Fiat Chrysler, of course.
Oh, this is the old Fiat.
Yeah, this is the old.
Man, they've changed
Chrysler,
their name so many
Daimler.
Times they can't keep up with it. Yeah, this stuff all works. I like all the automakers that have P's of 10. If the PE is like 50, don't buy the P's.
They have a forward PE of 5, actually. So it's actually acceptable.
Yeah, buy the dip on this thing. I agree. Buy the dip on these stocks.
Oh, I missed the news this morning. I'm sorry. They announced a partnership with Amazon. Okay.
Okay.
Which is
really
bad.
Makes me even more bullish.
Bad for Rivian, I guess. I don't know.
Dennis, are you seeing anything? I mean, we're just chopping around between unchanged.
It's so choppy.
Yeah,
today.
This is really.
This is like buy the dip, sell the rip day, just in the S&P. Honestly, like, I actually had a pretty good night. Just it's chopping around. I think eventually we roll over. So I think if you're looking like longer than 5 minutes. I think when we look at the market an hour from now, I think we're going to be down, and I think we're going to be down big.
No bounce. I mean, if you think about the shellacking that we took yesterday, I mean, you know, sometimes you get the bounce. The like I said, this is good. We're in good shape here. We got down to 46.68. I'm not sure what time that was at. Dennis, that must have been after you signed off. You weren't in there supporting the market.
Yeah, I know. It's my fault.
This was in the middle of the night.
Dennis single-handedly holding the market up. With
I know. I go. I do because when I go away on the vacations, always the market crashes those days. I'm like the only real liquidity in the market. Everything else is fake liquidity. I'm like the only one that's putting out real bids and offers out there. It's me holding up the market. You need me. That is a joke.
Okay, we'll do a couple more here. Marvin, I see you. You keep asking about SMG, Scotts Miracle-Gro, so we can do that one. I don't know.
I had it. I sold it. Shouldn't have sold it. Ah, I screwed this one up. I kind of like it.
Oh, boy, on the daily you're thinking.
What's the PE?
Oh.
Stop. What's the PE?
Yes, yeah,
it's a basic
We got a new regimen.
What's the PE?
What is the PE?
That should have been the name of the show. What's the PE?
Trailing PE, they're the same. It's in the 17 to 18 range. So
that's fine. It's not cheap, but it's not too expensive. Yeah, it's me. It's Miyagi, you know, middle of the road.
That's pretty cheap.
You know
what?
Yeah,
it's not bad.
For this one, I like you say, oh, wow, look at that move. But look at the bottom right chart. You know, you got a nice green candle in December, and now you're still trying to decide what to do here. But that's the first green, nice green candle in the while. I like it too. for an entry. I mean, you got a pair of lows at 160, but it could get away from you if you clear the highs from Monday and Tuesday. It just keep an eye at 165. We're $3 away from there. Pair of highs above 165. It opens up, but you got that monthly green candle, and to just get half back of that move, what, 250 to 140? I mean, that could take you up 190, 200 range on this one.
And just to be clear, the price to earnings rule, it's not a hard and fast rule. Someone just mentioned Rocket, okay? Rocket is a low PE and a low price to sales, but still out of favor. So it's definitely not a hard and fast rule here. There are always exceptions to everything. Forward PE is below 10. It's high nines.
Fairly cheap.
Remember when you at UWMC, oh, we're going to do this. No, we changed our mind. We're going to do this. And I'm like, what are you doing? And look at that. It held up there at 7 for a couple days. And
the problem is the problem is with Rocket and UWMC is that they've benefited from such a low interest rate environment that you wonder if interest rates start coming up, if those earnings don't start going down, and then that PE starts coming up on you. So you got to watch those sneaky ones. I don't know if the earnings are, maybe they are, but if the interest rates start going up, I'm not sure they're going to be making the kind of money that they are. That's the question.
And Aldico Gaming, yes, Benzinga is in the same building as Rocket, but with everybody working from home, it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Is it pretty quiet? Are they haven't been coming back?
No, for a while, people at Quicken were coming back, and that they've stopped.
I was depressed when I went to that cafeteria, man. That's like a ghost town there, man.
There's nobody in this building.
My breakfast sandwich guy wasn't there. I mean, holy mackerel.
There's nobody here. It is what it is. All right. It's 9 o'clock. Joel, I'll let you go.
Check in with you later. Go get them, Triple D.
Hopefully today is not, there aren't as many fireworks as yesterday, but I'm still kind of coming to terms with the reaction to the minutes. Joel said it, you don't often see the market move off of Fed minutes like it did yesterday. I'm very, very surprised that it happened. I guess the market clearly was not expecting the Fed to discuss selling bonds to the extent that they did, even though it was mentioned a month ago. I don't know. You know what? Let's do a fun exercise. When is the next FOMC meeting? Out of curiosity, I don't even know. Let's look. We go to Google. We go to what the heck? Oh, that's last year. I don't want last year. I want this year. No, nothing in January. When's the next meeting? Just so we know. All right, it's not this month. FOMC calendar. It's not even updated on the website. Oh, yes, it is. Okay, January 25th, 26th. There we go. Let's keep that in the back of our minds. January 25th, 26th.
We ought to be short ahead of that.
FOMC meeting. And then the next one's not till mid-March after that.
So. That's the one they're going to raise on.
Yeah, that's what they've said.
That's what the projection.
They haven't said that.
But that's what we think, right? Like, I don't know if we have those numbers in front of us, but I think analysts are saying, I think the majority of market participants are kind of saying that could be the first rate hike.
I mean, we can look at the CME has the really good Fed Watch tool, and it's pricing in. Basically, the Fed Fund futures are pricing in a 67% chance. I'm sorry, a 70% chance of a rate hike in March.
The only way that doesn't happen is if the market really starts to get hammered. If the stock market is down, let's say 10 to 15 to 20%, they'll pull it. They won't raise.
Yeah.
So it's they look at the data, but they're so, they'll say, oh, the wealth effect's going to take prices down. They use every excuse that they can. If the market starts really getting hammered, they'll back off on the rate rise.
All right. I would love to get Peter Tuckman's thoughts on this. He's the Einstein.
I got to go.
Dennis, have a good rest of your day, man. Try not to forget about any stocks you own. Peter, what is your take on the market's reaction to the FOMC minutes yesterday? It caught a lot of people, myself included, by surprise.
What's up? Hey, Spencer. What's up, Benzinga Nation? You know what I find? Look, the market is a fascinating place, and we've spoken about it before. I've always said that the market can handle one bit of information at a time, and he is able to assimilate that, whether it's, the supply chain issues, the inflation story, even individual spots about the Federal Reserve. Yesterday's information shouldn't have been a shock to any of us.
And yet,
yet the way the market reacted was. So you know what? It's a matter of the market. It's markets got like sort of ADD or something, ADHD. You know, it's sort of curious. Is it the fact that there's anxiety coming into the beginning of the new year, what the Omicron story will be, and then this on top of that? Why would they? We knew there were going to be a couple of rate hikes. In fact, we had thought there were going to be three. Now they said they're only going to be two. We kind of knew that there was going to be in March. They didn't fast track us much on the taper. So really none of it was new news. It just was as if somebody turned on their TV and said, oh my God, I didn't know any of this was happening. And then they hit the sell button. It was so curious because it was up against fresh money coming in January, sort of a confident market trading at record highs. All that kind of stuff. And then suddenly the market, you know, I always talk about the market does what it wants to do. It tells us what it thinks of the information. For some particular reason, yesterday, look, I don't know, what's the market doing? I'm on the highway. What's the market doing now?
We're stable. The futures are, overnight futures are stable, mixed. NASDAQ is down, Russell's up, S&P is flat.
Okay. So look, you know what? Look, one day does not make a market. We've also said this before. It could have been just a lot of anxiety, anticipation coming into this thing. It could have, you know, it's fascinating, you know, this market. That's why I am forever a student. I'm also a fan of technical analysis and risk management because I know a lot of people. I was on a Twitter space in the morning and, you know, a lot of people got caught off guard because they're going, okay, I know tech got hit the day before. The S&P was down a little bit, but the Dow trading at record highs, you know, and I think a lot of people got caught with their pants down.
Yeah, it is bewildering. I'm curious, were you on the floor yesterday?
Yes, I was.
Okay, so what was that like from in the 2 to 3:30, 2 to 4 o'clock period?
Okay, so, you know, we've talked about it before. There is information that I receive on the floor that the brokers on the floor get about what the imbalance is, what the projected sell or sure. buy.
Well, no, well, I meant like post minutes, really. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
no,
like,
I understand
okay,
that.
Okay.
But you have to realize that at 2 o'clock, okay. My handout populates with the information sure. about what the market is going to see coming into the close. Now, it changes moment to moment, but you have to realize that at 2 o'clock, and it took a couple of minutes delay before they started talking about what they were talking about, but we initially had about $1 billion for sale, almost $2 billion for sale. So it was literally as if the market was that a lot of the people within the basket space, you know, there are people who trade these large baskets, whether it's some fun stuff, whatever it was prepared for a bit of a sell-off because they had a lot of stock for sale in the marketplace. So once again, was it a perfect storm? Why did the market suddenly, because really yesterday's information was not new news.
Yeah, I'm always interested in like on days like yesterday where you have market going in one direction pretty consistently for a couple hours there into the close, you know, what the mood was like. So you're digesting the FOMC minutes, but you're also digesting this continually updated imbalance feed that gets more and more relevant the closer you get to 4 o'clock.
100%. You are hitting it right on the head. And the bottom line is, look, we've seen days where the markets reacted and we've had, you know, ups and downs after Fed minutes.
Yeah.
Although Fed minute days are not as significant as some of the news conference and the actual announcement days. So yeah. I was not anticipating a big move. I got caught off guard also. But the bottom line was the number kept building and the market did close on the lows. There was no coming off the mat on this thing. Every time I kind of thought we were going to hit a little bit of a double bottom and bounce off that level, which we've often seen in the past, this just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So I'm kind of baffled. Now, look, as I said, one day doesn't make a market. We're not seeing a big follow through, as you described so far. I'm on my way to work. I'm not there yet. But the bottom line is we'll see whether this was, look, tech has been fragile for a couple of days already. You know, we are trying to unwind the story we talked about at the end of the year, where there was a lot of tax harvesting selling. There was a lot of profit taking for the year. People were posturing themselves, getting into cash, trying to find out if there was going to be any redemptions coming in at the end of the year. Well, that story is over. We're into January here. We're into a new year. The first couple of days into the marketplace, besides yesterday, we saw huge buy imbalances come into the close, meaning fresh money was coming into the market, which we often see in the beginning of a month. So, you know what? I'm forever a student. I don't understand why suddenly the market engaged this bit of news. You know, look, there are so many players in this game now. There are millions of new people in the game. Obviously, this wasn't a bunch of retail traders selling out their positions. This was some big whale selling out some stock, right? And the market was postured not to absorb it or take a stand on it yet.
Peter, are you aware that you are a sentiment indicator on Wall Street Bets on Reddit?
Yes, I've actually been told that recently.
Okay.
I kind of, for the first few weeks, I didn't really know what a meme meant. I mean, okay. I knew it was something that had to do with Wall Street Bets
okay.
and Reddit, but I understand that I am the bullish indicator
yes.
In the meme space, and I'm honored to be that person.
Yes. It's only when your picture is used in an article that's the bullish indicator.
Correct. Is when your did it come is. Out? Did it pop up this morning yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet. So
all right, so let's back off on putting our pedal to the metal on this one, Ben.
All right, Peter Tuchman, you can check out his trading course, Wall Street Global Trading Academy. The link is in the description. Peter, always a pleasure. Happy New Year, by the way.
All right, happy trading.
Good luck today. All right, it is 9:09. Let's wrap it up. We're going to go do some live trading with Benzinga. Coming up next, Ryan, Zunaid, Mitch, myself. We're going to run through a screen in Benzinga Pro and walk through how to find some stocks that may be outperforming, right? So, by the way, throughout the hour today, we've been talking about what's the PE? What's the PE? You can find the PE yourself in Benzinga Pro. The information is there. It is available to you. Benzinga Pro has a free 2-week trial for everyone. Everyone. All you got to do is go to the link on the screen, pro.benzinga.com. Free 2-week trial. If you want to learn more about it, we will be using Pro a lot more on the next show. So stay tuned for that. The stream will redirect to live training coming up in a couple of minutes. So thanks to our guests today, Mark Chaikin and Peter Tuchman. Thanks to all of you in the chat. Hit that like button, guys. We're only at 354 likes. Can we get to 500 likes in the next minute? I think we can. Please remember, all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes and not for investing or trading advice. And that's a wrap now. We're at 382 likes. Let's get to 400 in the next 20 seconds as I end this show. I will catch you guys over on live training with Benzinga coming up live in like 2 minutes. Stay tuned right here, youtube.com/Benzinga TV.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.